everybody? Right, this is a momentous day, isn't it? Who's happy to be here? All the children have said yes as well. That's really good, isn't it? Excellent. It is so good to see you all. For anyone who doesn't know, my name's Stephen. I'm the pastor of the, had the privilege of being the pastor of the church here. And it's a long time since we were last physically in here together, so it's a wonderful opportunity. Before we go any further, we're going to pray, and I'm very mindful that today some people will come, full of excitement, can't wait to be here. Others, a bit of trepidation or anxiety. Perhaps your mind is on something completely different. And so in our regathering here today, it's good to pray and ask God to come and bring us peace. And what I'd like us to do, just in a moment of quiet, is just to pray and pray for the person on your right, person on your left. Some of you haven't got a right, some of you haven't got a left. So pray your person on your right, person on your left, and pray God's blessing of peace upon them. So let's just have a moment of quiet, and we can do that. Lord, we thank you that you welcome us with open arms, and you offer us peace. May the peace of Jesus be with you this morning. Amen. Right. Notice is, it's great to have a couple of notices. Firstly, can we say a big thank you to Sue and Claire? I don't know if anybody else helped you, Sue and Claire, but for all these wonderful flowers. We can applaud. We can't sing, but we can clap. So thank you. Claire, when was the last time you were able to be here?
October.
So it's a privilege to be here. So it's great to be here. Now, the reason we've got so many flowers, particularly, is that I asked Sue and Claire if we could have extra flowers, because I'm sure we're all mindful of people that can't be here, because they're just not able to get out. Maybe they've got to stay at home for safety reasons, everything else. And we're just mindful that they would want to be with us. And so I said, come with Leslie. It was Leslie's suggestion, which is a very, you always listen to your wife. And she said, let's have extra flowers so we can take some. So, Jean, can you wave the list at us, please? We have one of our clipboards with a list of a few people that I know would love to be here, but can't be. And so we're going to take some of the flowers from here to them. If you would like to do that, can you come forward? Just be mindful at the end of the service. We'll let mainly most people go. But if you'd like to give some flowers to one of the members of our church who are not here today, we've got people like Cecil and June on the list, Jean Norton, Renee Hutchings. There's a few who can't be here. If you think, yes, I'd like to do that so that we are together as a family, then come on afterwards, tick the name, and then we know they're covered. Any that are not covered, I'll do afterwards. And if there's somebody else who's not on the list, you think, yes, I want to take them for these people, just come up, put the name down, and then we know. And I know it's a bit complicated, but it's a way of saying we are all together and that people are not forgotten. And that's really important, isn't it? The other thing I want to say is, welcome to our children. It's great to have Ivy, Izzy, and Connie here. And some more in the overflow. Excellent, whoever they are. And children, the reason why we're particularly pleased to see you is that we have a responsibility as a church to tell the next generation the story that we're going to hear today. That's why we're here to worship and to tell the story. And so it's great to have you here and those who are just outside listening to this. What it'd be nice to do next, and those in the CrossLink Centre could do this as well, if you'd like to get hold of your Bibles, they're underneath your seats. If you reach down, there'll be your finder Bible there. And I'd like you to find page 604. It's Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We've often read this psalm, and the problem with wearing masks is that it muzzles us. And although we're free to speak, somehow we just stop speaking. So right at the beginning of this service, we have opportunities to worship today by humming, by raising our hands, by being still, by speaking words. And as a way of releasing our mouths at the beginning of this service, I'd like us to say these words. If you want to stand as you're saying them, feel free. These are songs in the middle of the Bible, and it's Psalm 100, and so we'll do it together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. And we have all generations here. If you look around you, you can see youngies and oldies, which is great. So, we've been looking forward to this day for some time. If you've been reading the Bible, praying through Holy Week, those readings and prayers have led us to this day. Our Lent meditations and prayers have led us to this day. Through the long days of winter, we've looked forward to the new beginning of this spring and this special Easter Sunday. Our message this year was a new beginning. And the reason I've given you all leaflets, and there's more as you go out, take these and give them away. Even this morning, people on the street have received these joyfully. And David Burrows was telling me about the positive response he's had to this message. It's a new beginning, and we've got good news to share. But before we come to the events of Easter Sunday, what's been going on in Holy Week? Each of the four gospel writers in the Bible have a different perspective on the events that led to Jesus' death. They all tell a different part of the story. We're looking at Matthew today. And he tells us that Jesus was crucified at a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. Sounds like something out of a film, Indiana Jones film, isn't it? The place of the skull. He was crucified between two robbers. See the picture here? These were painted 20 years ago, and they still have power now. That's what happened. He was naked, insulted, and laughed at. Jesus was flogged, he was whipped, and then a crown of thorns was placed on his head. Next to Christine, there's a crown of thorns. Jesus was covered in his own blood, struggling to breathe. The chief priests, teachers of the law, the elders, who had plotted to have him killed, laughed at him. mocked him. He saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. What did God do? Did God want him? Did God save him on that Friday? God appeared to make no response. And as if to reinforce the desperation of the situation, from 12 noon to 3 p.m., 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, it was completely dark across the whole land. And at the end of these 3 hours of darkness, the only words that Matthew records Jesus saying on the cross were these: Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? God made no visible, audible response. Did he turn his face away? This part of the story ends with Jesus crying out in a loud voice and giving up his spirit. What is going on? How can God ignore Jesus like that? How can the best person who's ever lived die like a criminal? Barabbas, which means son of the Father, a murderer, is saved. But Jesus, an innocent and wonderful man, dies. It's all the wrong way round. We have a video now called The Wrong Way Round.
The day Jesus died, everything was the wrong way round. The day Jesus died, it was dark in the middle of a bright day. Everything was the wrong way round. A friend is someone who sticks by when things are hard, as well as the times you're having fun. Well, the day Jesus died, his friends betrayed him, disowned him, ran away, and let him down. Everything was the wrong way round. A judge's job is to let innocent people go free. Well, the day Jesus died, the judges listened to lies, ignored the truth, and sentenced Jesus to death. Everything was the wrong way round. A soldier's job is to protect people who do good. The day Jesus died, soldiers arrested Jesus, hit him, made fun of him, took all his belongings, and nailed him to the cross. Everything was the wrong way round. A cross was made to take someone's life. But the day Jesus died, it didn't take his life. Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Then he gave up his spirit. The judges, soldiers, and cross didn't take Jesus' life. He gave himself. Everything was the wrong way round. That's what makes the day Jesus died good. God made everything the wrong way round on one day to put everything the right way round in eternity. Jesus took our place, dying the death our lack of love deserved, so that everyone who trusts him can take his place, living forever his perfect love earned. Jesus gave his life to fix the broken world. Jesus gave his life to save imperfect people. Jesus committed his spirit into the Father's hands so that we can be safe with God forever. forever. The day Jesus died, everything was the wrong way round. To put everything the right way for eternity.
First song, or hum our first song, Come and See.
Just take a moment just to let that sink in. So we come to today, a new beginning. Now I have an important question to ask. You know what's coming? Who's received an Easter egg this year? Yes, yes, there's a few. I have to say, there are no Easter eggs for me here today. I mean, other people might have them to give away, but I don't have chocolate for you. I don't believe in bribery. You've come anyway. So it wasn't needed, was it? But, can we have our first? Yes. Who have one like that? Yes, yes. And the next one? Who have one like that? All these in the past. All of them. Who has already started eating them? Oh, look at that. For those in the Crossing Centre, there are lots of hands up here. I'm sure out there you've not started eating yours yet. This is what happens if you're a bit hungry. The next slide, please. Yes. Have we got any children next door? Just get them to come in the doorway and just see the picture. This is how not to eat the Easter egg. There were colour pictures, but the black and white one was the best one, wasn't it? Look at that. Here we are. Look, there you go, Mark. I just wanted to show you that's how not to eat an Easter egg, all right? This is how not to eat an Easter egg, okay? We're expecting you to eat yours in a really well-behaved... In fact, actually, the last time I saw your younger daughter, Mark, she was eating a lollipop, and she did look a bit like that, actually, because it was blue, green, and yellow all round. Okay, thank you. And one more picture. Now, why do you think we've put the chick up? What's chicks? Yes? New what?
Newborn life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is what it's about. This is why people, the early church in Europe, when they first wanted to celebrate Easter, they sorted it out so it was at springtime. Because Easter is a story of new life. And newborn life is what we've got with these little chicks. It says in the Bible, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Guys, why don't you just come and sit on the front? Because then you'll be distant from everybody else. Children, you come right at the front, sit on the front row, and then you're sufficiently distant then. Come in the front, and then you could be part of what's going on. I'm mindful that there are people out there. Find somewhere to sit in the doorway there, Mark and Curtis. That'd be fine. Anyway, I'll just grab a chair and sit in the doorway. Come and sit in the front. Come and sit down the front. That's it. Lovely. Come and sit in the front. That's it. Lovely job. We'll get a chair for you. Thank you. So, Easter is about new life. But how can a dead man give new life to anyone? Jesus had died on a cross. Matthew tells us his body was taken down by his friend Joseph Arimathea and put in a rock tomb, a cave, like you can see on the pictures here. He went home. That was Friday. Next day, on the Sabbath, the Saturday, Jesus' enemies asked Pilate, the Roman governor, if he could put a guard outside the tomb to stop Jesus' disciples stealing his body and pretending that Jesus was alive. Pilate agreed. Nobody wanted those sorts of rumors going round. So the stone was sealed across the entrance to the tomb. The Roman soldiers stood guard. They weren't going to move. The tomb was secure. But not secure. Jean, our reading, please.
Readings on page 1000, if you want to follow it. Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. It was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
So, could that tomb hold Jesus? Could it keep him? No. Because look, I love this picture. This is one of my favourite bits. It's one of the funniest bits in the Bible. I can imagine, I would love to have been that angel. You imagine, okay, who's going to do it? Who's going to, no, I want to be there, I want to be, when I was at school, I was always the one with the hand up. I got into all sorts of trouble. I wanted to be the one, me, anybody else like that? I'm sure there's a few, yes, Pam, yes. Hey, it worked in the end, didn't it, Pam? That's right. I was so enthusiastic, but can you imagine, the angels were all lined up, and God says, right, who wants to do it? And they all put their hands up, or their wings up, or whatever they've got. And this angel comes down, and kabam! The stone rolls away. And it just said on there, just we read it, and sat on it. Excuse my irreverence, but this isn't the Lord's table today. It's like he rolled it away and then went, ta-da! And he probably smiled at the soldiers. And what happened to, can you see what happened to the soldiers? You see what's happened to them? They're in a very big heap on the floor. They are absolutely stunned and knocked out. Nothing can hold back Jesus. Nothing can hold back the power of God. Jesus is not dead. He's not here. He is just as he said. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. Not the same as he was. He is resurrected. He has had a new beginning, a new eternal resurrection life. The first one of many. We're told that Jesus is the first fruits, the first one of many that will have a new beginning, eternal life in Christ. Jesus is no longer limited by time and space. He's free from physical boundaries. If you read on in the Gospels, you'll see he walks through walls. Locks can't hold him. Doors can't hold him. Jesus also is revealed as God. See this picture here? There was Mary, but there were others as well. They met Jesus and they clasped his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus doesn't tell them to stop worshipping him, other than he's got to get a move on to Galilee, because he is God. Now, it's not only Jesus who has a new beginning. The 11 disciples, those who denied Jesus and run away from him when trouble came, also got a new beginning. The angel told the women to tell his disciples to go to, who was paying attention? Where do they have to go to?
Galilee.
Why Galilee? Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee and there they will see me. Why Galilee? Because that's where it all started. That's when Jesus first called them to follow him. Jesus knew that his disciples had run away. John was the only one at the cross. Everyone else had gone. And yet he wanted to forgive them and give them a new beginning, an opportunity to make a fresh start. And as you read on in the Bible, you'll find that Jesus also has a new task for the disciples. So this new beginning that we're thinking of, it's not just for those women, it's not just for the disciples, it wasn't just for Jesus, it was for the whole world. Because those disciples and everyone who comes after them that believes in Jesus, and that's us, are called to go to all the people groups in the world, all the nations. Because God wants everyone to follow him. God wants everybody in the family, from every nation, from every people group, every color, every language, wherever people are, whatever beliefs they have at the moment, God wants them in his family. So, we thought about a new beginning for everybody else. How about a new beginning for you? Many of us, and many outside the church, are looking for a new beginning. One of the ladies going by today with a couple of bags of shopping, I went there, shall I give her a leaflet or shan't I? You offer and often people say no. But she said, yes, happy Easter, before I even offered her one. I said, can I give you one of these? I said, it's a new beginning. We all need one of those. That's what she said. And we need a new beginning. Some people are afraid of a new beginning. That's why some people won't be here today, because they're afraid. Others are really looking forward to the new thing that is about to come. How about you? Are you looking forward or are you afraid? If you're afraid, you're in good company. The women who met the resurrected Jesus were afraid. They were full of joy, but they were also very afraid. They needed his reassuring words, "Do not be afraid." Jesus invites us to trust him and follow him. He will lead us into the future with him. So where do we go for this new beginning? Well, the disciples were called to go back to Galilee to make a fresh start. And sometimes we have to go back to where it all started. Remember when he first called us, he said, come follow me. Sometimes we have to go back to that place and start again. If you've made mistakes, if you've sinned, if you've even denied Jesus, you can still make a fresh start. That's the good news of Easter. Some of us here may have never heard Jesus calling them to follow him. Or you may have said no. But then today can be a new beginning for you. We can turn around, say we're sorry, and ask him to forgive us. He will always forgive us when we ask him to, because he loves us. That's what the cross is about. To get rid of all our sins, all the wrong things we've done. If you ever need to say sorry to God, you can, and he'll forgive you. And I'm looking at the children, because you're closest, but this lot, all those, they need to do that as well. We all need to say sorry for things that we've done wrong. From right from the front to the person right at the back. I'm looking at Hillary, because I can name her, she won't be embarrassed. So from Paul to Hillary and everyone in between, we can all say sorry and God will forgive us. We can start again. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you went through what you went through on the cross to get rid of sin, to take it on yourself, so that anything we've done wrong, we can be forgiven. The blood that you shed, that came out of your body, in some mysterious, miraculous way, makes us clean. And we thank you for that. Lord, we are sorry when we've gone the opposite direction from what you wanted, when we've ignored you, when we've even denied you. Lord, forgive us. Give us your new life, your new resurrection life. Give us your Holy Spirit that we might worship you, love you, follow you, and tell others about you. Give us a new beginning today, we pray. Amen. We've got a couple of songs now that help put into our emotions in our hearts and the things that we've been thinking about. Again, feel free to stand, to wave a banner if you can see one near you, to clap, to be still, whatever you want to do. It's a way of presenting our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, worshipping Him. Let's just say a few words of praise and adoration. Let's not be muzzled this morning.
We thank you, Lord, that we've praised you today as a risen Lord. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, that we've been able to come and worship you, the risen Lord, together this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your hope is a free gift to us all.
Amen. Let's just pray a moment for those who live in the darkness and feel that God has forsaken them. God had not left Jesus' side when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But it felt like it. And there are many today who feel like God has left them or ignored them, or they're in darkness and they've never known his love. So let's pray at the moment, just in a moment of quiet. Just have a think that if there's a name that you want to bring to the Lord out loud, then say it out loud. We don't need lots of words, we just need to bring to the Lord those who we feel are living in darkness.
The refugees.
John. Lord, think of those who walk head down, buried in their own sadnesses and troubles.
We pray for those in prison for their faith this morning.
Yes.
For the innocent victims of war.
Yes.
For
anybody
who can't see a way out of the situation they're in at the moment.
Yes.
Persecuted Christians.
Yes.
Pray for my neighbours.
Yes. Lord. Lord God, you never left Jesus alone on the cross, and you haven't left anyone alone now. We pray that those who feel alone and afraid, without hope, will reach out to you and discover your love in Jesus on the cross. That they'll receive resurrection power from Jesus by the Spirit. And that they will start a new life with you, a life of hope, joy, and peace. We know this is possible because this is what you've done for us. And Lord, we want to see those around us, those who live near us, those who work with us, those who are at school with us, knowing the truth and power of your love, this day and every day. Amen. I have a final challenge for you as we finish our service, and that is not to sing the words, to thine be the glory. You're going to have to really hold it in Say the words. I'd like to hear more words being spoken. You can speak the words, not a problem, you just can't sing. So as this final hymn, we did this last year in our homes. We weren't able to meet last Easter, and our final hymn was this particular. Leslie recorded it on the organ here, but we had to play it at home. This year, we're here. And so if you can, hold yourself back, but I would encourage you, if you're able to stand and give the glory to the Lord. Thine be the glory. Thine be the glory. Risen, conquering Son, endless is the victory thou, O death, hast won. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. May I remind you to come forward carefully. If you you could deliver some flowers for us. If you've got someone you'd like to take some flowers from. I know Sue and Claire and Jean are going to help us sort of distribute. Thanks again for coming. And do make use of these to spread abroad the hope of a new beginning.